Welcome to the Real Talk of Dental, where we pull back the bib and talk about what's really going on beneath the surface. Not just the charts, not just the systems. We're talking about the culture, the chaos, and the confessions. I'm Brandy Marzolino, and with 20 years deep in this industry, I am fresh out of patience for performative leadership. This is your space to laugh, cry, question everything, and maybe shout into a pillow between patients. We've got anonymous confessions, we've got call-ins, we've got ops room drama, and we've got the truth, served hot and a little too real. Think of this as your backstage pass to the break room no one dares to mic. Until now. Hey, before we get started, I want to tell you about something that's changing the game for women in dental leadership. It's called the Empowered Leadership Experience for Women in Dental. It's a six-month transformational journey for women who are done with burnout, over-functioning, and trying to lead like someone they're not. This isn't just another leadership training. It's a coming home to your voice, your power, and your joy. If you've ever felt alone at the top or stuck somewhere in the middle, this one's for you. Enrollment is now open. Head to leadhership-experience.com to enroll. Because real leadership isn't about performing. It's about remembering who you are. Now, let's get into today's episode. Kelly Dugan is a personal brand strategist, a success coach, and a presence coach. She's also an engaging speaker and a fellow Michigander. I met Kelly a few weeks ago, and I instantly knew I wanted her on this podcast because Kelly focuses on an area that I have zero skill set in. She focuses on helping people develop their personal style as an expression of what's going on internally. I have struggled my entire life on how to properly address myself. I know I probably pull it off decently, but a lot of times it's pure luck and also scouring the internet and style guides for all kinds of ideas. I have never had a true experience of somebody telling me what colors really work for me and what kind of clothes I should wear. But what's also really great is this extends into the professional setting and your dental office, which I find really, really cool because she helps leaders really show up and emote how they are as leaders and everything from how you carry yourself to how you communicate to the types of words you use to, yes, even how you dress. And I'm talking about even the scrubs you wear in your office and how that has an impact on how your patients perceive you, sales, enrollment and treatment, all kinds of things. These are things we don't typically think about. We think, oh, we're throwing on a pair of scrubs and off to work we go. But did you know that the color black actually has an authoritarian vibe and can intimidate patients when it comes to selling? I didn't even think about that. Or how I know all the time with associate doctors, I talk about how they carry themselves when they're looking to become greater leaders in their offices. But Kelly is a particular coach that will teach you how to physically carry yourself. And I just find this work super fascinating and it's super cool. And what's also very funny is if you're watching this on YouTube, you're going to see what Kelly actually looks like, and you would never know that Kelly actually is a fan of Ozzy Osbourne, Led Zeppelin, and she's actually a hardcore rocker underneath this very professional exterior. So she's definitely nailed the professional vibe, and you'd never guess that you probably would see her at a metal show. So there's that. Please enjoy this episode. I had a really great time talking to Kelly about fashion, and I'm probably going to hire her to actually help me. So if you see a style change in me in the next several months, just know that Kelly's behind it. Kelly, I am so excited to have you with us today because after speaking with you a few weeks ago, maybe, I just absolutely love what you focus on, which is a whole level of leadership that not a lot of people really talk about or pay much attention to. But what we all feel and what we all recognize when it comes to leadership, and that is your overall presence and presentation. And it's something everyone talks about, but nobody really has focuses on it when it comes to coaching or really the nuance of it. And I just absolutely love that this is something that you focus on in the way of style and etiquette and just your overall beingness, right? It's a huge thing that I talk about, but I'm just so excited to hear what you have to say about this. What got you into really wanting to focus on how people show up with their overall energy and presentation. And
I really just saw a huge need for it. Business casual, you know, when I started my business, it was 20 plus years ago, and we were moving into business casual mode, and a lot of people were kind of lost on what to do. So that's kind of where, when I headed into business land, I would say, and professional development, and the thought of developing a total presence. It's not just how you look, it's how you act, how you communicate, how you think, all those things moving together. So
yeah, and I can imagine too, like with business casual, but then also this idea of, I think people got really relaxed during COVID as well, probably, and working from home, and then bringing back this professional type presence. Have you noticed a shift even from 2020?
Yes, and it's strange. It's kind of like on bipolar ends of it. I just was on a phone call today with a banker, and she was talking about last year, she's HR in banking, and they reinstated a more formal dress policy just because it had gotten so sloppy and, you know, kind of a hot mess, where you know, a lot of places have remained business casual, or we're talking dentistry, so you're in scrubs and so forth. But I know I've been even in my own general dentist, and I saw some of the attire when I was in for my own prophy the last time, and I thought, okay, that's just beyond, you know, grunge in a sense. So we need to look at this. So, you know, I say the verdict is out yet on the whole dress for your day concept, because we're kind of lost. And part of my conversation with a gal I spoke with earlier today that's in HR and in the banking world, we were talking to an article I had heard about through another colleague, a friend of mine, Forbes had it out, and talking about this younger generation who they finished high school in COVID. So they did graduation and drive-through graduations. They went to college, and they were, you know, in behind the screen the whole time, and then maybe a little bit hybrid. But now, you know, things are opening up, and we're in many other industries. In dentistry, we had to be in the office, but these other components of dentistry where you might be at conferences or speaking or different things where you're with people and in person and you're not in scrubs, you know, thinking about what you wear. But this younger generation in particular is lost. They haven't had to do it before in the sense of getting themselves pulled together and presenting themselves in a professional manner. So it's crazy times.
Yeah. And so what would you say? Because I can already hear, you know, some folks in, you know, younger generations and things like that, where it's more of like, this is who I am, take it or leave it. You know, it doesn't matter what I look like or what I wear. You know, it's what's on the inside or my brain or my skill set or something like that that really matters. What is your feedback, or what's your position on that thought?
Well, I say, you know, they say you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but unfortunately we do. We were, you know, kind of in our society, we're positioned to think like, what's our favorite color, you know? So the way things look, and that could be your appearance to even just your posture and your body carriage, how you walk into a room as well. You know, so before you ever open your mouth, before you ever, somebody understands what you're values are, your skill set and all that, they see you, and you can use your presence to open those doors for you. So I think an understanding for, say, the young professional, that there is this powerful side that they should recognize. Now, you partner that with the thought is that my belief is, in with the personal brand work that I do, is you want to create an authentic, true presence that is, you know, true to you. And if you are that earthy, natural, really kind of roll out of bed and go type person, and you're just who you are, is just super relaxed in your dress, that's where you need to kind of position and think about, what are your career goals? Who are you in front of? And maybe at times, should you adjust that thought? Are there times that maybe you do need to step it up, but other times you are okay in, you know, the relaxed, casual mode of dress, as well as just the whole thought of your demeanor as a whole and your behaviors and communication.
Yeah. So it's like, know your audience, essentially.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love when you and I were speaking before too, just even about doctors, right? So there's a lot of aspiring associates who want to take a shot at leadership, you know, partnership. Mm-hmm. They want to grow in their career. And I've noticed too, in all my years of coaching, you can really tell more often than not when you go into an office who's the owner doctor and who the associates are, usually by their presence, right? And it's not just the team members and how they're relating to them, but how they carry themselves. And sometimes, I mean, sad to say, sometimes they're more slunched over from the stress of, you know, running the business for the last 20 to 30 years. Uh-huh. They look a little beat down and the associates a little more springy still. But all jokes aside, too, it's the associates will sometimes be looking at their phones or they're really casual. They kind of want to blend in with the team. So they really have this energy of, hey, I'm just one of the team members here and I just want to be cool and I want everyone to be cool with me and I want to be liked. And it's something that I really have to work hard with associates on as they're navigating that path to leadership and partnership or ownership, is embodying this leadership persona and this energy. And to your point, the team is watching you. You know, and the patients see you as well, and they're picking up on this energy. And so how you carry yourself really makes a huge difference. And I don't think people get that because they believe that they're really talented clinically, or if they're a great producer, or they've put in a few years, that automatically people will respect them and treat them like a leader. But to your point, that really often
They really do need to think about how they can align themselves. I mean, it's a tricky place to be. You're the newbie there. You probably have a hygienist or assistant who's worked 20 years longer than you have clinically, if you're that associate in the office, but you're there as the doctor as well. So finding that pliable place that you can be, you know, you kind of have to be a chameleon in a sense to set yourself. But think about the fact that, no, it's just not your skill set of that degree. It's not because you have DDS or DMD at the aims and, you know, everything's great. And, you know, you should be bowed down to in that aspect. I've seen that in practices and that burns bridges. Here you've got a team that wants to support you. So learning to be amicable, empathetic to conversations, opening to hearing what others say, but knowing when to step it up or when the, you know, the senior doctor comes in and let them have the stage and the place to speak or set the tone, and know as far as, you know, when you step into conversations, or, and that could be in that nonverbal sense as well, just from your body communications, how you're supporting all of that. But it's a tricky place to be, I would say.
Yeah, and it means they can start by looking up from their phone, right? And putting their shoulders back a little bit and just standing up straight. I mean, gosh, I think I'm starting to sound like my mother, but I think it does mean something when you sit up straight, right? And it just means, well, I think also it's not so much that you're conveying arrogance, but also that you're confident in yourself, because a lot of young associates also want respect from the team and patients and things like that. And which I totally get. And it takes years to earn that respect. And they see the difference between them and usually, you know, the owner doctor or, you know, senior doctors in the office. And a lot of it does come with you exuding your own confidence, like the quiet confidence, right? Like the assuredness in yourself. And if your shoulders are back and you're standing up straight and you're attentive in meetings and you're contributing and you're acting as if you really genuinely care about the business of dentistry and your practice, the team is going to pick up on that.
You know, somebody who's young in their profession can always learn from somebody, even if they're not at the same level of education per se. And with that thought of, you know, stepping into the room, good posture, not having your hands or your face and your phone the whole time when somebody else is speaking, it would be a patient. I think one of my pet peeves too is talking to a patient and having, many times this happens where they'll be talking to a patient like this and my head's to the back of you. So where I say you want eye contact. So learning how to, you know, have eye contact and just good decorum and posture around people is important, and knowing when to step in and out of conversations. A experience that I had years ago with a young associate doctor that was in the practice, he did pretty well stepping in. He was, you know, amicable, or, you know, he'd come into conversations nice at least. But when he'd start talking about treatment, he'd say, I think you should do this. versus this is the treatment we would recommend, or however, you know, you as your team choose to talk through treatment. So thinking wisely on the words that you use as well, whether it's with team members and or with patients, can set you up for success or failure, I would say.
Yeah. So let's say you have an associate that wants help in really honing in on their leadership style and their presentation. Where do you start? Where would you start?
I start with getting to know who they are, because with that thought of total image development, the inner core of it, that hidden or inner image, it's who you are. If you've had your strength finders or Myers-Briggs or DISC done, all that, it's your values, it's your character traits, it's your likes and dislikes, along with your skill sets, what degree you have or what specialty you're in. So getting to know them at that level. Next, looking at what their aspirations are career-wise, where they are now, where they want to head to. And then within all of that, something we alluded to earlier is, you know, really knowing the audience that you're in front of too. And then from that, you can look at what your assumed image is, where you've been, look at that visual, the scene image, which is your appearance and your behaviors, as well as extended areas of image. It could go into digital presence or your car or what, you know, all these things of different places and ways you're seen. Mm-hmm. And then the experience, which that comes into your behavior and your communication piece. And then all of it tightly aligned and working together really supports growing a presence, a leadership presence or executive presence, whichever term you want to use. And then when it's done cohesively, consistently across all manners of where you're seen, then that starts to establish a personal brand for yourself. And it's going to be basically that nonverbal mouth that gets you to where you want to go professionally, supports you quietly. Doors will open for you because of it.
Yeah, I really love that, because something that I work so hard on with folks is discovering themselves internally and really getting clear on what it is that they value, what it is that they believe, what is it that they're looking to create. And you're such a cool part of that, which is almost like the manifestation of that, or the physical expression of that. And how does that look in, like, on the outside, right? And I think it's so valuable and so important, because people know when something really resonates and it feels good, and we know when something doesn't totally feel good, like it just doesn't match, right? And you and I both know, and anybody listening or watching would agree, like, well, maybe look at somebody like, that doesn't quite match. Like, what am I missing here, right, with the person? And it's not so much needing to people please others, but sometimes we just don't have that awareness that has it feel like we're in that, what I call like the flow state, you know, where the clothes just feel comfortable and really accent like who we are, and the car, like you're saying, or like the physical expression just kind of makes sense. And I think that's really cool. I mean, I 100% do not have that gift. So I'm glad that you do and can really help people bring that out into the world. I just think that's such a unique and very cool tool to have that I don't think a lot of people think about. That's why I just find what you do so intriguing, because I think people just take it for granted and it has huge impact.
Right. And, you know, and with that thought, what I say is, you know, the things that I really help people or teams with are things we've been doing our whole life. We've been getting dressed, we've been moving around and behaving, we've been talking. So you think we should know how to do those things. But maybe you do, but maybe there's ways you could tweak it so it could be a better tool for you. What I say, you are your greatest asset, meaning how you think, look, act, speak, and dress. So you can position yourself as a heat-seeking missile to help you get done what you want to get done. In my presentations, one of them that I do, I always say, you decided if I had anything to offer before I ever opened my mouth. And the only thing that happened was they saw me. They saw my behavior around in the room. Some of it may have been a little speaking, because I try to be set up and able to talk and visit with people. They may have heard me talk a little bit, but for the most part, it's just appearance and behavior that they've either, again, unconsciously, subconsciously turned on or off if they're going to be open to listen to what I have to say.
Yeah. And I like it too, because it sounds like you also work on it with the actual practices themselves and how they brand or express themselves externally as well too, which I think is Very cool. Because, a lot of coaches and consultants and advisors and things like that, they work with a lot of offices on values and culture. And then you have marketing experts that can really help create a cool website, that draws in the types of patients that they're looking for. And something that's missing a lot of the time is how that's expressed in the physical sense when you walk into the office. My dentist here, I love him. I think he's amazing. And I think he's a great guy. But gosh, you go into that reception area and you feel like you're in, I don't even know, a room from the 1970s and you're waiting to go off to like war or
But
something.
it speaks, it says stuff about
I hope you're listening to this doc. I'm sorry. But it is like, it's not reflective of him at all. And he's got a huge team and, he's very successful, but they focus so much on the back, as far as just providing exceptional care. And because they have such a large team and they have a huge patient base and stuff like that, I think it's very pragmatic and almost just very utilitarian. Let's put it that way. And there's just no vibe at all.
To resonate off from that, what I'll say too, I mean, most towns have, like dental office row where you have practice after practice. They seem to be always kind of grouped together. And truthfully, what sets you apart from the practice next door? I mean, hopefully we're going to assume that everybody's clinically doing fantastic work, that they take really good care of their patients at that level. But outside of that, it's the experience, it's the people, it's the presence of their team and how they work together collectively from the front to the back, the things that can go on from the front and the back to what the front, curb appeal outside to inside, and the experience that's had from a combination, again, of how they look at, speak, and dress. And you've probably been at programs or heard this, well, dress appropriate. Well, what does that mean? Or, behave appropriately, or make sure you have good business etiquette and stuff. But what does that mean? And again, back to, I think because we think we should know that already. We've been getting dressed, we've been talking, we've been behaving, all those things our whole life. But any movie has a costume department and coaches for speaking and all those different things. And we, for some reason, have kind of, pushed it aside or don't think that we should invest the time or funds into, excelling in those aspects or just a growing an awareness of how we do come across to others. It's important. It's very important.
And what has been your biggest growth, like, since you know all this information, for your own style? Like, did you transform your own style and presence once you started doing this work and learning about it? Like, what was your experience with
The
it for
more I learned
yourself?
about it, the more excited I got about it. I started in the girly fun makeover land of image consulting. So I started in color analysis. So I'm going to date myself in 1991. Is when I took my first color class and I started this hobby side color analysis and makeup business. And then I was introduced to the image industry as a whole and joined the Association of Image Consultants International. AICI is much easier to say. So I'm a certified and award-winning member of AICI. And within that, if you're certified with them, it's on appearance, behavior, and communications, and now digital presence. And it really resonated with me because we've all met somebody that they look great, but then we spent a little time with them and we found out they really weren't that great, whatever it might be. They had some nervous twitch, or their skill set was awful, or they had an annoying voice, or they just their values and character traits weren't great. Or maybe in our fast-paced world, you had the opportunity to see somebody, meet somebody more than a couple times, and maybe they weren't, maybe a polished on the outside in their appearance, but you found out that they were really talented. They were a really great person, but you fortunately had enough time to spend some time with them a few different times to learn that. But my beliefs is you want the total package. You want it all going on to really move forward. And for myself, I will say, you know, initially after I'd started my business and doing that, I attempted to kind of come into dental land, but I was juggling a hygiene career and my business. And I didn't have enough hours in the day. And when doors didn't open easily and they started opening up in other industries, I started doing work. I've done work for hockey leagues, concrete companies, banks, universities, Kellogg Corporation, Eaton Corporation, Hayworth, you know, a lot of variety of companies. But what got me in the door was because I was practicing what I preach. And my husband will say, because we'll hear this here and there from a family member or a friend, like, oh, you're so lucky. It's like, no, I work my tail off and I practice what I preach. I look at and use my total presence. I know I'm my best asset. I know it's what's going to allow me to continue, because it already has, to be in front of HR directors for big companies, presidents and CEOs, or on into dental land. Right before COVID, I had a practice in our area contact me and say, I don't know if you'd be the right fit or not, but I had done a children's etiquette class for our local country club. And when they said, I don't know if you'd be the right fit or not, but that's what brought me back to dentistry, in fact, was that they had contacted me and I said, yeah, I'd be a really good fit. And it was wonderful. Let me combine my backgrounds together. And we did several projects and some side consulting and uniform development, brought in a marketing person. We helped rebrand them. And it was a great experience. So I come back to dentistry to, again, combine my backgrounds together and help them open the doors and create opportunities for themselves just with the presence of themselves and or their people.
Yeah. Gosh, that's so great. I mean, we can even drill it down to the something so small, but even like the color of scrubs probably, right? Like even the vibe of the office based on the color of scrubs and if it matches and, you know, resonates with the overall culture and how it fits the team members and things like that. I think scrubs is overlooked a lot of the time.
Yeah, where you don't realize color communicates.
Yeah.
So it's a silent communicator and you can use it, again, as a tool to position you for what you want to accomplish. Many times we let fashion do that. I've seen a lot of practices go to black scrubs all over. I'm not going to say that it's 100% wrong, but I'm going to lean and say there are better choices for you. Black's a color of mystery. It's the color of death. It's a very authoritative color. So when you have patients coming in who are scared, who aren't sure that they want to part with their funds for treatment and, you know, all the plethora of things that could be going on, is black the right color? You know, fashion's kind of made it the save-all color, but is it 100% right? Probably not. There's, you know, a charcoal or a navy could be better. Or there's universal colors, too. It's kind of like the idea of even picking out dresses for your bridesmaids for a wedding, that there are colors that are better for everyone to wear because of all our... When you get into, like, personal color analysis, what's going to resonate? Because on that side of it, it's in any situation personally too, but in business in particular, you want the attention to come to the face and the eyes and then out to the business at hand. And color will lead the eye on the frame. So color itself will complement you or not, as well as then you get into how it communicates, how it can, you know, create strength and authority in a look or soften a presence and create more likability and approachability. Color will do all that and how it's placed on the frame and the type of garments. So again, it's a tool that you can use, and it's not being used, and it could be.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. That's such great insight. Yeah, I saw a reel on Instagram recently where it was supposed to be funny, but this doctor, this dentist was coming out and he was dressed. He's like, oh, the casual doctor, the white coat doctor, the doctor who likes to play golf, you know, the nerdy doctor. And he had on all these, you know, he was changing his outfit repeatedly to embody like these different types of doctors. And I was just laughing. I was like, this is so clever. And it's something, again, I don't usually think about, but as he was showing it in the reel, I could see how cool, like how obvious it was. And you're totally right. Depending on the image that we're portraying, like it gives off an energy to the patient. And, you know, even like the kid friendly doctor or like your neighborhood nice guy doctor. And yeah, it can when you're in the room with the patient, it has a huge impact on how they're going to hear you.
What you're saying too, like that's really part of the brand, the personal brand of the doctor, how it supports the brand of the practice as a whole.
I love what you're saying too, even for treatment coordinators. Like, again, that's not something I would think about is how you're, I've always thought about positioning, like where you sit in relation to the patient and all the tools and things you need to support you in educating the patient and supporting the patient to move forward with the treatment. But even the color of your clothing and the decor of the office will really have an impact on how they feel, you know, subconsciously, which most people aren't even probably aware of. So I think that's, most people probably would think black is a pretty benign color that is non-threatening, but if it's coming across as authoritative and confrontational or like more power over the other person, that could set off, you know, a defense or lack of safety in those conversations.
Definitely.
Very cool. Very cool. I just love this stuff because I know
You're
nothing about
welcome.
it. So thank you. Yeah, my top Clifton strength is learner, so I could probably get into this all day long. So I think that's amazing. And so what are colors that really work for you that you've discovered?
Yeah, for myself, what
Out of
I've learned, so I
curiosity.
use a 12 palette approach to color assessment now. So when I originally trained, it was the 4-palette seasonal. So are you a spring or a autumn or a summer or a winter? So in today's land, I'm in old terms a summer that flows to an autumn. So I have cool but neutral traits in my skin and my hair, my natural skin and hair coloring, but my eye color and patterns neutral to a little warm. I have some olive green in it. So my palette is dominantly cool, muted colors, but I pick up some neutral warmth. The colors get a little muddier and deeper, and then that supports and resonates off of my own coloring. The beauty of it is that it gives you a system and a process, just like, you know, an interior designer who comes in and lays out a plan for a room or a full, say, practice or a home, that everything doesn't have to match, but it should coordinate and flow together. So that's what understanding and knowing colors for yourself at that personal level. But then the tools that I use, the color palettes, have a whole wardrobing system built in, and they talk about not only what the color is and the undertone of the color, but it talks about wardrobe designation, how it's used in your wardrobing, but also the physiological, psychological effects of color, so how they communicate, and then the lifestyle where the color is best worn. So is it something for casual wear or, you know, high-end traditional business or, you know, fancy dress or something in between? So it gives you a system or a process to use. And then from there it moves in. So really I work at that individual, whether it's personal reasons or somebody's wanting it for professional presence development in their appearance. It's a three-step process of looking at color, body proportion and line, knowing what cuts and garments of in the line of garments, silhouettes and shapes of garments best flatter your frame. And then the third is your clothing personality. And then defining your personality. I work from a 6-personality approach, and or I'm, you know, there's a combination of usually two together. I'm romantic, dramatic, and then sometimes you might have a little touch of a third, a little bit of classic. What I say, I draw on the classic so I'm appropriate for business. So, because I could be too, I could want to be too sexy for work in my dress. So I draw on the classic to be appropriate. But what that does is it gives you back to the thought, even just with color, this system or process, so that everything over time works together. If you're out cleaning out your closet or shopping, or you could use this thought for selecting uniforms in a practice as well. But if it's great for me color wise, if it's great for me proportion and line wise, if it's great for my personality, if it's great for what I have a need in my wardrobe and my budget, then it's going to come into my wardrobe and be a workhorse. It's not going to hang there with the tag still on it, laughing at me, saying, "Why did you buy this?" type of thing. So, and that's what I share and how I work with my clients. I teach them that same system. So.
So cool. So cool. Kelly, I've learned so much. I absolutely love this stuff. I think it's so neat again because I just don't have any skills whatsoever in this area. So this is all fascinating to me. Really grateful that you're on. I can't wait to share this with everybody. This was so
Thank you,
much
Brandy.
fun. Thanks
Appreciate
for being
it.
here, Kelly. You just listened to the Real Talk of Dental. If it hit, if it stung, if it made you feel just a little more human, good. That's the point. This isn't about fixing practices, it's about healing people. And if you're brave enough to show up real in this industry, you're my kind of leader. Subscribe, call in, send your wildest workplace confession. And most importantly, don't clean up for anyone. The mess, that's where the magic lives. We'll see you again on the next episode.